So if I understand correctly, this is President's Weekend, and tomorrow is President's Day. Is that right? Some of you may have the day off. A couple of you are looking rather quizzically. What's he talking about? Does anybody have the day off? Avery has the day off. Kara's like, why not me? I don't know. Do they?
I don't know.
William, are you good?
Tomorrow.
Ah. And there was great rejoicing from all the parents throughout the land. Well, if President's Day is about George Washington and Abraham, we're going to have a story today about a man by the name of Abraham, who was also a presider. In a way, I suppose you could call him the president, although God was the one who was an authority over Abraham. Today really is quite a story. Some of you can remember Father Abraham. We've learned songs. William, do you remember a song? Yeah? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And they didn't laugh and they didn't cry. All they did was go like this. People are confused. With your right hand up. Father Abraham had seven sons. Seven sons had Father Abraham, and they didn't laugh and they didn't cry. All they did was go like this. With your left hand up, Father Abraham had seven sons. Seven sons had Father Abraham, and they didn't laugh and they didn't cry. All they did was go like this. With your right foot, Father Abraham had seven sons. Seven sons had father. Oh, come on! They're Abraham. And they didn't laugh and they didn't cry. All they did was go like this. With your left foot in. Father Abraham had seven sons. Seven sons had Father Abraham. And they didn't laugh and they didn't cry. All they did was put it all together. Go like this. With your right hand up. With your left hand up. With your right foot in. With your left foot in. Turn all about. Father. Okay, we can stop. That's not the version that you know. That's not the version that you know. So people know a lot of different variations. It is the same Abraham, though, isn't it? Okay, Christian calisthenics. Hope you're all warmed up now. How are you doing over there, Joan? Good. Today is quite a story. It's a cycle of chapters here that takes us to the middle of Genesis. We're looking at many of the great stories in the Bible, believing that the Bible is the greatest story ever told. But the Bible is a library of different tales, different stories, and accounts of God interacting with his people, people who have encountered the living God, whose lives were transformed and changed experientially. So my belief is that you're not here by accident today, but because God wanted you to be here, because he has a life-giving, life-changing word for you. It's personal, it's poignant, and it's powerful. God wants to affect something and to accomplish something. But whatever happens today, he doesn't want you to be the same person when you leave this place as you were when you arrived. So we're going to take a look and see what God may have for us today. We're going to look at the call of Abraham. And we're going to take a look and just I'll make some comments about the reading and some of the things that happened to Abraham. Make a few observations, and then I'm going to leave a challenge for you and present you with an opportunity. You know, when we look at the story of Abraham, it's a story about a shift that takes place. Everything seems to happen in this series of adventures, or should we even say misadventures. There's a name change, because when Abram starts out, he's a man, and Abram means exalted father. But by the time he completes his journey with God, his name has been changed from Abram to Abraham. And apparently it means something like father of a multitude. So he undergoes a name change, and it's God who is the one who changes his name, who reassigns him and offers him a new name commensurate with the new identity and the new calling that God has for him. So Abram undergoes a name change, but it's a transformation that has implications for all creation. And so we're going to take a look here at chapter 12, which begins to offer us an introduction to Abraham. And it's all about his vocation and his calling. And let's just start with the very first verse. Now the Lord said to Abram, you see, there's an encounter that takes place. And it's God who takes the initiative to come to Abram. The Lord came, and he made himself known, and then he begins to speak in a way that Abram can understand. And he speaks to him and saying, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. That often seems to be the first word of God. Go, get up, and get going. Now, for some of us, we think our get up and go has long gone. But that's always the first word of God. Have you ever noticed that the first two, in English anyway, that the first two letters of God, G-O-D, are go? So there's an invitation here and a command. And God speaks to Abram and says, go. And then there's a threefold leave-taking that occurs here. And it's a little bit like coming from 30,000 feet and coming closer as we drop down from above. And we're moving in, and God speaks to Abram, and he says, go from your country, from your nation, and, there's more, coming a little bit closer, from your father's house, Terah was the name of his father, from your kindred, from your extended family, your relatives, from your father's house. This is the third aspect here. His father's name was Terah. From everything that's known and familiar, God wants to take Abraham away, wants to take him on a journey. Go, leave your country, your nation, leave your kindred, and your father's house. And in that culture, it meant leaving behind your safety net, your support system, everything that you knew, everything that was important. And it meant that you were going to be alone and that you would be as a stranger in a foreign land. So he says, go then to the land that I will show you. And so what you get a sense as you read the story that God is moving closer and closer as he overtakes Abraham. But God is the one who is the go-to person here. He wants to take Abraham somewhere. He doesn't want to leave him where he is. Things have stagnated. Infertility and barrenness characterize the marriage of Sarah and Abram. They are childless, which means they don't have a future. And you might remember that the will of God had been spoken long ago. And he said, go forth and multiply and fill the earth. Unfortunately, Sarah and Abram, they can't do that because infertility afflicts their lives. But here's God showing up and offering a different definition, a future that lies in God's hands that's not up to Abram. And God is saying, go and I will show you a particular land where I want to take you. So God is really the one. He wants to take him to a land, but land is what God provides. The truth is that in this go-to invitation, God is saying, come to me. And then we get this fivefold explanation. Five times God makes four promises here, but five times we get that first person, and I. He says, go to this land that I will show you. God takes the responsibility. There is no future that Abraham can manufacture or produce for himself apart from this relationship with a God who wants to take him to a land of promise. I will make of you a great nation. Here's the first part of the promise. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. You see, God has a purpose in this, that Abram will be a blessing. To whom? Well, that's a good question. But God wants to work through Abram so that he becomes a blessing to others. I will bless those. It comes with threats and it comes with promises, does this word of God. I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God still engages with human beings. He works through human creatures. They're not perfect, and they don't have to be, but God is looking for righteous people. Remember that Noah was a righteous man. Didn't mean that he was perfect, but he did try to walk with God. And here we have, again, God looking for someone, and someone who will respond to his invitation and to his call. And so what does God provide for Abram? What does he offer? Well, it's a little bit like Jack, I think, who trades the family cow for a handful of magic beans, isn't it? What is God offering? A promise. He says, get up and go, and I will take you. I will take you. God does not offer a map. God says, I will take you there. Apparently, God is along for the ride. God is going to go with Abram and Sarah, Terah. He's going to go with the family and take them to the destination that he has for them. And so what God is offering is a promise, and he's saying, believe it. That's all God offers, a promise for the future. Would you take it? Get up and go. Would you trust God? Is your life that dull? Are you that bored? Would you get up and go? Has your life become dull and interesting? Do you feel stuck? Well, here comes God with a call to adventure, and Abraham seizes the moment. And so I wonder, isn't it a lot easier for us to leave when we have some place to go? When you have a destination in mind, when you know where you're going, and you have something to aim for, isn't it a little bit easier to leave behind what you've already known? Oh, I have a job in Oregon. We're moving to Portland. Oh, okay. You have some place to go. An assignment, a destination. What does God give Abraham? Well, a promise of land. But Abram, at that point, the name change has not yet occurred. Abram doesn't know where it is. All he has is a promise from God. How do you negotiate that? Get up and go. Go to. Well, God is the go-to guy. God is the one who will take Abram there, Abram and Sarah and the rest. And so he offers Abram an opportunity. And what he really offers him is a relationship, that I'm the go-to guy. If you're going to reach your destination or what I have for you, Abram, then you're just going to have to trust me. And that's what this story is all about, learning to trust God in the midst of changing circumstances. Learning to trust God with your future when you don't quite know where you're headed. And so what Abram gets is a promise and a relationship. It's what Martin Buber, the great Jewish theologian, used to call an I-thou relationship. It's me and thee, you and I, God. We have a relationship. Indeed, Abram came to be known as a friend of God. They had a close relationship, one of the few that had that kind of friendship. As you look through the scriptures, very few had the kind of relationship with God that Abram had. And so Abram, well, he sets off and he is totally dependent on God. And so what is Abraham's part? What's his part in this? What's he supposed to do? Go. Get up and go. Abram, get going. Get up and go. What's God's part? Well, God has the hard part. And it comes up in four-part harmony. He says, go to the land that I will show you. I will make your name great. I will make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you a reputation. I'm going to give you recognition. I will make your name great. And finally, I will bless you. But the blessing doesn't end with Abram. It starts at home, but it doesn't stay home. It reaches out. You see, this is a God who intends to fulfill his original intentions for his creation. God never quits, never ceases, gives up, or stops. God will fulfill his original purposes and plans for creation. We have a God who wants to reorder things even after the flood, after the Tower of Babel. After that, even so, God refuses to accept anything less than what God originally set forth. And so in the past, he has chosen Noah, but now he comes to Abram and chooses to work through him. One person can make all the difference. So it starts with Abram, his relationship with his wife Sarah. It extends to his family, which does not yet exist except in the promise of God. What does Abram have? Infertility. If you read a little bit further, you would discover that when this call comes, Abram is 75 years old. 75. Now, some of us, we talk about our get up and go being long gone. All I can say is that age is not a problem for God. It's a problem for us. We get it in our minds that, well, I guess my dreams have an expiration date and a shelf life. I guess I'm ready to give those up and just collapse under my recliner and wait for the day of my demise to arrive. But God is saying to Abram, not you. And I think that's one of the reasons that perhaps Abram agreed, because his life was going nowhere. He was stuck. He didn't have children. That meant that there was no future. Oh, sure, he had relatives. There was Eliezer. There was Lot, his nephew. And then later on, and you know how sometimes we try to help God out? And there's a story about that as well. Because as it happened, Abram, 75 when the promise came, but it took many years for the promise to be realized. And Abram was getting older, and he noticed that his wife Sarah, well, she was no young spring chicken anymore. And so the years tumbled by. And Abraham, onward he grew. And it was far, far too late. Sarah was much past the childbearing years. And perhaps you know the rest of the story. So they had this promise from God. And Abram would say, well, God, how about Lot? And God would say, no. You see, this is a God who is engaged in history. God still has a purpose for his creation, and he's moving his intentions forward. But Abram is like, look, God, I'm getting older. Sarah, have you noticed she is beyond the childbearing years now? It's too late. How about if we just settle for Lot? He'll make a good choice. My nephew, I guess that's what we'll do. And God says, no, but you will have a son. You will have an heir. You and Sarah, from your own loins, you will have an heir. And all Abram has is a promise from God. That's all he has, a promise. Well, how about Lot? No. One day, Sarah comes and she realizes that she is beyond the years of childbearing. She says, Abram, why don't you go into my maid Hagar? And we'll see if we can produce an heir that way. Have you ever noticed sometimes that we have good ideas, but they're not exactly God ideas, or we think they're good ideas? Some of you right now are doing Experiencing God. And have you ever noticed that there are some good ideas and some really bad ones, but we try to help God out? You ever tried to help God out? God, I've got this great idea. Here, let me help you. Well, I think it's like a little bit like a boy, you know, trying to help his father out. Here, Dad, let me nail that for you. And the next thing you do, you hit your thumb and your dad says, you know what? This time you really should have let me do that. But we're always trying to help out, and that's what they were trying to do. And so they took matters into their own hands, and sure enough, Hagar became pregnant, and they produced Ishmael. But there were consequences for what they did, because it was not the will of God. And ever since then, Ishmael and Isaac, the name of Abraham and Sarah's son, have always been in conflict. There's been a conflicted and conflictual relationship ever since that's had repercussions and consequences down to the present day. So don't tell me that what one person does not matter. It matters, and it reverberates, echoing across the generations. And so they tried to help God out, but again, God said, no, it's not Lot, it's not Ishmael. Wait. And then Sarah becomes pregnant. And at that point, we're also told, there's a wonderful story there, because when visitors showed up in the camp of Abraham and they offered these visitors hospitality, and when they did so, the visitors promised that a year from now, you will have a child. And this time, it was Sarah who laughed at that. She was eavesdropping, and she heard this, and she started laughing. And then she denied it. They said, you were laughing. And she said, me? This is the angel of the Lord, of course, who is showing up, and the visitors in disguise. And no, I didn't laugh. But the angels know better. You were laughing. And just remember that when it comes to God, the one who laughs last laughs best. And so, sure enough, a year later, they have a son. And when it comes time, the day for that son's circumcision, Abraham keeping covenant with God, on the day that Isaac was circumcised, he gave the name, by what name shall this child be known? Isaac. And of course, you know what Isaac means, right? Laughter. Laughter. So whether it's God who's laughing at Sarah and Abram, or whether it's God who's laughing with them, I don't think it matters. I think their joy and laughter was restored. God came through. He kept his promise. He honored his word, hoping against hope. in spite of their age, which according to human experience would have denied what God had promised, God has fulfilled his word and offered them a child, an heir, a future. But it can't happen except that God come through. Remember, God is the go-to guy. He's the one who will take them to the land of promise. He's the one who can furnish an heir. He's the only one who can do that. And apart from God, nothing else will work. Now, they were tempted to settle for less than God was able to do. They bought into the promise, sort of, but not exactly. Well, if we just help God out, and God is saying, no, that's not what I want. You don't go off on a branch. You just stay with me. I will give you an heir. And so God is the one that Abraham learns, is the one who himself provides for Abraham. But it takes time, and what a process this is. There's a delay that takes something like 25 years. Can you imagine waiting that long? And have any of you ever prayed for 25 years waiting for God to move? 25 years? You ever pray for your children? And it may take longer than 25 years. But God prays. Abram prays. I shouldn't say that God prays. Abram prays, and he waits, and he watches. So those of you doing experiencing God, what is God doing all this time with Abram? What's he doing? Thank you, William. Say that louder. Thank you. He's building his character. He's developing Abram. Abram is learning. It's step by step. It's just like the journey. It's a trust relationship that grows between them. It's a life of faith. But it all started with that very first step. And that's what we see here with the calling of Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, before his name change, go. And Abraham got up and went. Verse 4, so Abram went. That's what sets him apart. He got up and he went. That was his part, just to get up and go. Every journey starts, doesn't it, with that very first step? Get up. Go. Go to the land that I will show you. The only one who can lead is God. But Abram watches, and he begins to travel. And they begin to develop a relationship, and it's a little uneven, isn't it? Does Abram tell the truth? When it's convenient. And when it's not, he gets a little bit fuzzy. They're off in the land of Egypt, and this happens twice over. Sarah was a beautiful woman in her younger years, and others were attracted to her. And so Abraham, he lies. He doesn't divulge that she's actually his wife. And so that leads to repercussions. So Abram, he's a little fuzzy with things here. He doesn't always tell the truth, but still he keeps going. And God keeps growing Abram. And so over his life, he begins to develop a deeper and deeper trust relationship with God as he goes along. So finally, Isaac is born. And there comes that day when God decides to put Abram's faith to the test. And I think you probably know the story. He commands Abram to take, and it's a very powerful story. Abraham, now take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, and go out and sacrifice him to me. So three times he keeps magnifying it and intensifying the challenge. Your son, your only son, the one you love, take him out and sacrifice him. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine that Abraham went home and told Sarah. I think he just took off and went. If he had told Sarah, I don't think she ever would have let him out of the tent. It wouldn't have happened that way, or she would have hidden away Isaac. But Abram went. And of course, when they reached the place of sacrifice, you might remember the conversation where Isaac was saying, where is the sacrifice? And God's word to Abram was, the Lord will provide. And so indeed, when the moment comes, he straps him to the altar there. And just at that very moment where Abram is about ready to take the life of his son Isaac, God interrupts and stops him and says, no, don't. What God is saying is, I'm not like the gods of the surrounding cultures. I do not demand sacrifice of your children. I am not like that. Child sacrifice is not my will. Remember God's original intention for creation? To multiply and fill the earth, to scatter abroad, to care for creation. So anything that interrupts that process, think abortion if you would like to, anything like that, the termination of pregnancy, God would have a problem with that. And so God is saying, I am not like the deities of these other cultures. I do not demand child sacrifice, anything but. The future is in this air, but it depends upon me and me alone. And so God learns that Abraham, you will indeed be the father, not just an exalted father, but the father of a multitude, even a multitude of nations, because you are faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? It means to get up and go. It means to start walking, to head in the direction that God would show you. It means that we don't settle, you and I, for less than God wants to do. I sometimes wonder if some of us have settled for a little less than God wants to do. We've gotten stuck where we are. We've gotten used to the way things are, the unchanging job. We've given up our dreams. We've resigned our hopes and just say, well, I guess that's how it's going to be. I guess I'll never be able to do what I had wanted to do when I was younger. You know, some of you have had a call from God and you've set it on the shelf. You put it away in the closet and now it's in the back shelf of the closet and it's still waiting there. And perhaps you think that God has forgotten or forgotten you. Do any of you have dreams? Have any of you had a summons and a call from God and you've just left it there and you're still waiting? And perhaps it's been years since you pawed through to the back of the closet to find that vision, that dream, that call that God gave you long ago. I wonder if we trust God. You see, that's what sets Abram apart. What makes him different isn't that he's perfect. What makes him different was simply that he trusted God. He believed God, but I think what's more important here is that he actually trusted God. And when I mean trust, I mean he didn't just believe, yeah, I believe that you can do it, God. He actually got up and said, let's go. He got up and he went, and that's the difference. He trusted God enough to act on it. You know, everything was, the promise that God made to Abram was completely dependent upon him and his own character. His own word. All Abraham, I say all, as if it's easy, but what Abraham had to do was to get up and be willing to go. The difference was that Abram trusted God. As I read this story, I was just thinking a little bit. Do you think it's possible that God had sought other people before Abram? What if God went around looking for other people? Maybe a Patricia or, well, maybe a Stephen. He had approached other people and said, will you go for me? There's something that I want to do. Through you, I want to bless all families of the earth. What if God had gone to others and they all said, I don't want any part of that? I just wonder if that could have happened. But finally, he came to this one man, Abram, and said, will you trust me? This is what I will do for you. And so Abram said, okay, I'm in. And so he got up and he went. That's what set him apart. That's what trust looks like. He got up and he went along with God. He trusted that God would keep his promise, honor his word, that God really was the go-to guy. It wasn't that he was looking for the destination. He understood that the destination lay in the promise of God who was going with him. It was through that relationship that the future was going to be delivered, that God would provide for Abram. And so he got up and he went. You see, the heart of God was to bless his creation. And he chose one man and one people to start. You see, God, in spite of everything that's happened in the world, God is still looking for people who are righteous. What makes Abram righteous? One thing only. He trusted God. That was the singular thing that set him apart. He trusted. He trusted enough to get up and go. Could you do that? Do you trust God with your future? with your career, with your family, with your children, the children you love, the children you care for, the children that God gave you. Are they yours or do they belong to Him? Which is it, your children or His? Yours to care for and to love on and to raise and to show the faith, to demonstrate who God is, but clearly they still belong to God. You see, here's a great God who has plans and purpose, a direction for His creation. And I believe that God is still looking for people like Abraham, who will be a blessing to a multitude of others. You see, God has a big vision here, and it's generational. It doesn't end with Abraham or just Isaac. God is looking to bless all families of the earth. God says to Abram, I will make you a nation. I will make your name great. Well, wait a minute, God. I don't even have children yet, and we're getting really old here. Do you trust? Is it too late? You see, God wants to bless all of creation. And I love the way that God expresses it to Abram. He says, through you, I want to bless all families of the earth. He doesn't use political language here like the nations. He's talking about families. This is relational language. This means others who are close. Remember the whole thing about Cain and Abel, brothers, brethren. Are we not brothers and sisters of all people around the world? I think that's what God wants Abram to understand. It's relational language. It's a blessing. Abram, it starts here today, now with you, if you'll get up and go, if you will trust me, but it's not just for you. Through you, I want to multiply to all the families of the world. So take a moment. You see, I believe that God still wants to do a work, and He doesn't need very many people to start with. All it takes is one person. All it takes is one person to say yes to God. One person who will actually get up and go. Who will take God at His word. And we're told, for Abraham, that was imputed to him as righteousness. Why? Simply because he trusted. That's what a life of faith looks like. You start to walk it out day by day as God continues to develop your character and help you grow. God is still looking for people who will do that. Will you be that one? So let me ask you a question. How many of you have had dreams, or perhaps God has made promises to you, or you've had hopes in the past that you've set on a shelf and they've just lain there dormant? Unrealized. Not yet fulfilled. What if God isn't finished? What if it's this story, this day, that God wanted to bring to our attention? What if He brought us to this very spot right now, just like Abraham, because He wants to connect with us, because He wants this to be the day that He breaks through again and says, I'm not finished. I know it's been a long time. Will you settle for where you are? Do you believe that life is over for you, that it's static, that I'm unable to provide a future for you? Even now, says Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you and you, you, Paul, even today, for you right now, right here. God is not finished, and not with any one of us. Will you be like Abraham? Will you respond? So how many of you have had those dreams? Take a moment. Perhaps it's a call, an encounter that you had with the Lord years ago. And maybe you've just shrugged it off and said, nah, not me. Why me? Why would God choose me? Chose Abraham. Why Abraham? We don't know. It was God's choice, God's decision. God took the initiative. But I believe that we are here because God is calling us. He's speaking to the Abraham, to the one that wants more. How many of you have settled? Just be honest. With yourself? Be honest with the Lord for a moment. Have you settled for where you are? Have you not reached far enough? What if we have a God who has big plans for you and they don't end with you? What if He wants to work through you to be a blessing to others. And as his blessings flow through you, you also get blessed in a mighty way. Let's pray.